I get it. I don't know what season of life that you're in, but I can guarantee you that you are not hanging out on the couch with zero responsibilities. As women, we are so many things to so many people. I see you. I see you doing the dishes, changing that diaper, trying to pay for your child's college. I see the exhausted grandma and the overwhelmed student. This podcast is for you. So whether you're driving in the car, getting ready for the day, or about to snuggle in the sheets, I pray that this podcast reminds you that you are so loved by the one who beautifully designed you. I am Ashley Shepherd, and this is the Beautifully Designed Podcast. Hello, beautifully designed ladies. I hope you're having a wonderful day. I'm really excited about this episode. I'll be honest, I'm a little nervous about this episode because I'm going to share with you something that is real and raw and something that I've been experiencing recently. So for the past year, basically the whole 2018, I kind of went into this year. I always set goals. I always come up with a word that, kind of will represent this year. And I kind of came into this year thinking, this is the year that I'm going to slow down to speed up, right? Because I am the type of person and woman, which I know many of you can relate to, where I am a doer. I do things. I do all of the things, right? Hashtag all of the things. You see that a lot on social media. That is me. And that's probably so many of you out there. I am a hard worker. And what I wanted to do in 2018 is really take this year to kind of stop for just a second. 2017, I wrote my first book and my first book came out and it was just a really busy year. It was wonderful. And so 2018, I joined a BSF group. If you don't know anything about BSF, it's a Bible study fellowship where they dive into scripture. And, you know, it was a time for me that I was going to spend, you know, learning more about God's word and learning for me how to say no. I had to learn this year that I can't say yes to everything, even though it sounds wonderful and perfect for me, that I could definitely get it done and get it done with a bow on top, right? Nobody could get it done better than me. That's just my mentality. But, you know, this year has just been the year of just a different kind of year, a year where I was going to take a step back and reevaluate where everything is and kind of slow down for a little bit. And honestly, God had different plans. We all know that sometimes we have expectations of what something is going to look like. And honestly, I woke up about a month and a half ago and was like, wow, there's a lot of things that do not look familiar right now. And I don't know if you have ever lived in the land of a waiting room. If you feel like that you are in this waiting room and you're waiting on a decision to make, or you're waiting on, you know, what's going to be next for your life, or maybe you're waiting on someone else to make a decision, or maybe you're waiting on God to tell you what's next. And so I kind of feel like this year I've been kind of sitting in this waiting room. Like there's this big gap in my life, and this has been not a year for me to slow down to speed up. This has actually been a year of pruning. Now, that does not sound fun because we all know what happens in a pruning process when it comes to a plant or a tree. Things are cut off. Things are trimmed down. You get down in the roots and you take things out that shouldn't be there. And it's painful and it hurts. And it's necessary to have growth. But this year of pruning, when I was in the midst and the thick of this process, it was really hard for me to find the reason behind it and the purpose of making room for fruit. I really honestly have pitched a three-year-old fit different times in 2018, and I have a seven-year-old, and so I remember the three-year-old stage. It wasn't that long ago where you flail yourself on the ground and you kind of have a flip out moment for just a second because you don't like how things are going on and it doesn't look like what you expected. And so I ain't gonna lie, I have shed some tears in 2018. But I've really went through something just a couple weeks ago that God really used in my life in such a mighty way. And that's kind of what I want to talk to you about. And I also want to share the story in the Bible of Lazarus, because I truly believe that we can learn from that story in the Bible. We are actually diving into the book of John in our online Bible study with my beautifully designed community. We've got over close to 18,000 women in there. And it's just a great place to encourage each other, pray for each other every day, but also to be in the Word of God. And so I talked about Lazarus tonight in our study, and so it's just kind of really fresh on my heart. But I want to be real with you a second, because this pruning process, the Lord has taken people out of my life. The Lord has stripped some things out of my life, like selfishness, offense that I have been holding on to, towards other people, even offense that I've held on towards my husband. And so he has brought to life just so many things that I personally need to work on. But he has also given me lots of opportunity, way more than I truly want, if I was really honest, to really stand up for who I am. And I really have had to ask myself in the mirror, as I read scripture, as I pray and cry out to the Lord, listen to worship music, as I grow closer to God, I really have had lots of conversations with Jesus. And I've talked to Jesus just like I'm talking to you now. And so I've asked Jesus, like, why are you putting me through these different circumstances, these different conversations? I have truly had to stand up for myself. And if you know anything about Beautifully Designed and the book that I wrote last year, you know that it's all about identity. My story is all about how the enemy tried to steal my identity and my joy and my peace and everything else, because he knew that was a way that he could distract me from my purpose, from God's purpose in my life. And so I, you know, went through so many identity crises through the years. I just didn't know who I was. And my pant size defined me. People's opinions of me defined me. Negativity defined me. If I failed at something I cooked for my family, I felt like a failure as a mom. And so my roles and responsibilities became my identity. I looked in the mirror, didn't know who I was. And the Lord has brought me through this process of knowing who I am in Christ and truly believing that I am who Jesus says that I am. And the only way that I can truly know who I am is to know who Jesus is. And so this 2018 of diving into scripture and going to BSF and staying plugged into my Wednesday night Bible study at church, what I have learned that this year, as I have learned who Jesus is, and as I learned more who I am, I have learned that Jesus needed to put me in the midst of some very hard conversations, some very hard situations where I have had to really look myself in the mirror and say, okay, I can either stand up for who I believe I am and what I believe the Lord wants me to do, or I can continue and allow that people pleasing and the need for validation and the need for their opinion, their good opinion of me, to take control. And I had that choice, honestly, different times throughout the year, way more than I would want to. And I have dealt with a situation in the last month or so where I have realized that I have experienced rejection, I've experienced negativity, I have experienced people coming to me wanting me to tell me what other people are saying about me, and it has been really hard. Anytime you feel some sort of rejection or bad opinion about somebody, I mean, it brings you to your knees, because you think automatically, what is wrong with me? What did I do wrong? And you start to question who you are and what you say and what you do. And the enemy has just taken a stick and just poked me in this area of life for so many years. I wrote a book on it. Ladies, I wrote a book on it. But 2018 was the year where, as the Lord starts pruning and puts me in the midst of conversation and situation and opinion and negativity, that I have had to choose what I believe. And I have chosen to believe that I am who God says I am. I have chosen to believe that if I could just be obedient to Christ and to Christ alone, that is going to be enough. And in the past, even like recent past, 2017, 2016, that wasn't enough. I needed the validation of other people's opinions. I needed to make sure that everybody was okay, that they, you know, I would buy gifts or do certain things for certain people so they would feel okay with me. So they would know that I was there for them and that I loved them, because I was craving this, some sort of just approval, I guess. And, you know, I've done that off and on for many years. And honestly, a lot of that comes from a heart of love for people. It didn't come for just something that I could get from that. Is I honestly love people. I don't like to be alone. I force hug everyone that I meet. I love just being present in a conversation with a friend and, you know, hearing people's stories. And so, you know, some of it came from a heart of that's just how God created me. And some of it came from this validation that I sunk my identity into being loved by people. And, you know, that's just being real and raw and the true Ashley Shepherd coming out. And so, I've struggled with that off and on, kind of like a tug of war. But this year was different. Going into this year, the expectation was to take a breather. But what has happened is I've had to breathe in a paper bag, trying to get the air in my lungs to face the conversation after circumstance. But coming out of this last little situation that I was in recently, I have such a peace in my life because I feel like I finally know who I am. I feel like that I have been obedient to Christ. I feel good about the decisions I've made and the words that I've chosen and the grace that I've given and the love that I have for people, regardless of how they feel about me. And honestly, on the outside looking in with some of these circumstances, it looks bad. It looks like, you know, this form of rejection and a group coming against you. I mean, it can feel and look really bad. But honestly, when you know who you are and you stand up for yourself and you know that regardless of what people's opinions are of you, or regardless of how bad it looks at your job or how bad it looks towards other people, when you know that you are obedient to Christ and Christ alone, you have a peace that will settle in your heart, and it will surpass any other understanding ever, any other opinion, and you can depend on that. And so I want to share with you that I felt like 2018 has been a year of delay, has been a year of waiting, has been a year of this pruning of one thing after another thing. And I'm just crying out to the Lord, like, Lord, I'm ready for some fruit in my life. Like, I'm tired of people not understanding what God is doing and leaving me or rejecting me or saying, I had someone say recently that they think I do too much ministry, and it hurt. It hurt that they have such a strong opinion about what I'm doing or not doing. But at the end of the day, I have been obedient to Christ. And so this whole year of kind of being in a waiting room, kind of God is just kind of holding me back. Like, I feel like I'm an arrow in his hand and I'm kind of being held back a little bit. That this pruning is kind of taking away, like I said, my own selfishness and offense and learning how to give grace and to love and to give forgiveness. And I had to have these experiences this year to just know that I know that I know that my identity is grounded in who I am in Christ, is grounded in the identity of a redeemed daughter. I am a redeemed daughter. I am not a perfect daughter. I am not a perfect human being. I am a redeemed daughter. I am a restored. I am made new through Christ. So when I do hold offense, or I do have selfishness, or I sink my identity in the wrong things, I know that I can go and run to my Heavenly Father and that He will remind me. And so this year I've had to go through these circumstances, these challenges, these conversations to truly put me in the position where I've had to choose. And it has been hard. And some I made bad choices in that, but this last month going through that, I have just truly learned that if I am grounded in God's word and I know who he says I am and what he says about me, that's got to be enough. There's not Jesus plus, it's just Jesus. Going to Jesus, not to for Jesus to help me out of a circumstance, but I've learned to just go to Jesus because he's Jesus and I want to know who he is. And so, you know, when we dove into the book of John and we were reading the story of Lazarus, many of you heard it as a young child or you read it in your kid's storybook, but you know, Lazarus and Mary and Martha are siblings. They are brothers and the two sisters, and they are best friends with Jesus, and they are so close with Jesus. And many of you know the story of Mary and Martha, where Jesus shows up, and Mary is just at Jesus's feet, and she's washing Jesus's feet, and she's present with the Lord, and Martha is busy in the kitchen, and she's distracted getting all of the things done. And I can relate more to Martha than Mary sometimes, right? And so, you know, Jesus is spending time with them. And as he's spending time with them, he gets word that Lazarus is sick. And it says in scriptures, and this is found in, you're probably going to hear my Bible change, but that's okay. This is found in John chapter 11. But it says that when Jesus got word that Lazarus was sick and ill, that he waited 2 days. And when I first read that scripture, I'm like, wow, okay, so obviously there's probably a purpose for it, right? He's waited 2 days, and then he decides, okay, it's time to go to Judea. It's time to go meet Lazarus. And he lets the disciples know. The disciples tells him, Lord, Lazarus has fallen asleep. Is he going to recover? Now, Jesus had spoken of his death, but they thought he meant taking a rest and sleep. So Jesus told them plainly, Lazarus has died, and for your sake, I am glad that I was not there so that you may believe. Let us go to him. And so it says that as Jesus is making his way, that Martha comes and runs out to him. Now remember, Martha's the distracted one. But here's what I love about Martha. She comes in, she greets Jesus. And she says, Jesus, Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would have not died. But even now, I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give it to you. And Jesus says to her, your brother will rise again. But Martha said, I know that he'll rise again in the resurrection on the last day. She's thinking, you know, one day, not like that day. But Jesus says to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? And she says to him, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world. And so what I love that Jesus said to Martha here is that he is telling Martha who he is. He is giving an I am statement. And there's 7 or 8 I am statements in the book of John. But he says, I am the resurrection and the life. And so as Jesus continues his journey to the tomb, Mary comes out and Mary runs to him. Jesus, Jesus, if you were here, he wouldn't have died. And he sees all of these people mourning Lazarus' death. And it says that he got very troubled. And it even says that Jesus wept. And so I always thought in this story, Jesus wept because his friend Lazarus had died. But here's the deal. Jesus knew when he got word that Lazarus was sick, that he was going to give this miracle. He knew that Lazarus was not going to die. He knew that he journeyed there to show God's glory through this miracle. And so he wasn't crying or weeping because Lazarus was dead in a tomb. He was weeping because he saw with his physical eyes, his best friends, Martha and Mary and all of these other people, just they're crying, they're distraught that Lazarus is dead, and they're not believing what he just said, I am the resurrection and life. And so he's very burdened. And it says he's deeply moved that they're not believing this. So it says in 11:38, it says, then Jesus, deeply moved, comes to the tomb. It was a cave and a stone laid against it. So Jesus said, take away the stone. Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, Lord, by this time there will be an odor, for he's been there 4 days. Back in the day, they would let someone lay in a tomb for 4 total days to make sure he was really dead. And Jesus said to her, did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? So they took away the stone, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I say this on an account of the people standing around, that they may believe that you sent me. When he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. The man who had died came out, his hands and feet bound with linen and strips, and his face wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to them, unbind him and let him go. Do you believe that Jesus is who he says he is? Do you expect him to resurrect joy and love and peace that maybe someone else stole? Do you expect him to give you and pour out his love? Do you believe that he is who he says he is? There is a reason for these blank spaces in our lives, and that's exactly what it is. We go through certain things in our lives, the blanks, right? Without the blanks, guess what? We would have no room for him to enter in and write his answers in our life. Our God is not a forgetful or a late God. He doesn't make mistakes. He purposes the gaps. He allows these sacred spaces and these blank places to be there. We have to leave room. He leaves room in our lives to go through pruning. He leaves room in our lives to dig down deep in the soil and pull out the weeds that don't need to be there. He is preparing us. We got to make room to be in the Word of God. We've got to make room to pray, make room to cry out and ask him and just be with him. Or maybe just sit in his presence and not even say or think, but just sit and listen to worship music and allow the Holy Spirit to talk to us. We've got to leave room for the times where we're in a situation and we're allowed to put our faith in action and we have the privilege and the opportunity, and that is what 2018 has been. It has been opportunity after opportunity to stand up and rise up and be the redeemed daughter of the King that I know I am. And maybe you have experienced a similar year, or maybe 2 years, or maybe even more than that. And you're kind of tired of the delay. You're tired of the waiting room. And I just want to remind you that the purpose of this gap, this purpose of this delay, the waiting room that you are in, is for you to run to the Father. Martha and Mary, they ran to the Father. It was like, Jesus, why are you not here? And he is so burdened by that question, because he was there all along and he had a purpose all along. And all he wants to do is he wants his friends, Mary and Martha and everyone around, to just believe. And we as women, we as daughters of the King, we must believe and expect God to do amazing things in the middle of our gaps, in the middle of our blank spaces. A lot of times we have expectations that he's never gonna show up or he's not even around. And all we see is the circumstance around us or the conversation or the negativity. And we are not leaving room for God to show his glory. We are not. We are so hyper-focused on the wrong thing. But if we shift our mindset and shift our heart and ask the Lord, Lord, show me the purpose of the waiting. Show me the purpose of this blank space. Help me understand where I need to find you more. And so we get so wrapped up in our purpose and what we should be doing. And, you know, I know this Thursday, I'm planning the whole ministry, that what we're going to be doing for 2019. And I can get all wrapped up in the planning and be a little bit like Martha. But at the end of the day, I need to be like Martha. I need to be running to Jesus just like she did. And I need to be talking to Jesus and reading his word and just allow, through the story of Lazarus, allow you to be reminded of the purpose of the waiting, and that there is so much power That there's more power in the name of Jesus Christ than it's above every name. And if he says that he is the resurrection of the life, guess what? He can resurrect and give life to joy and the love and the peace that you truly crave in your life. And he may resurrect a relationship. Maybe he's going to resurrect a job. Maybe he's going to start helping you bear fruit in a certain circumstance or a relationship. But remember, what you're going through may feel like a death like Lazarus. Maybe you're experiencing a real physical death of a family member and you're going through that pain. But maybe you're experiencing a death of a relationship or a job, but what you're going through may feel like death, but guess what? Divorce doesn't have the final say. Cancer doesn't have the final say. Infertility doesn't have the final say. Rejection doesn't have the final say. Heartbreak doesn't have the final say. Doubt doesn't have the final say. Even death doesn't have the final say. You may be facing delay, distraction, or even devastation for a season. But it is not our final destination. Resurrection is coming, and we always have the eternal hope of Jesus Christ. Ladies, I don't know where you're at, and I don't even know if you can relate at all to what I have experienced in 2018. But I have this hope, I have this expectation that in 2019, and it may even be 2020, but you know what? It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. I have an expectation that my Father in heaven, the one that created me so perfectly with these gifts, I know that he is the resurrection and he is the life. And I believe that he is going to use everything I go through for his glory. The good, the bad, the hurt, the pruning, the stripping, the ugly, the wonderful, the beautiful, the fruit. He is going to use every bit for his glory. Because you, we were all created for him, his glory. And sometimes we have to experience the waiting to prune, to prepare, to just get ready. Just like he's holding me back like an arrow. That's the vision I have. I know one day he's going to shoot that arrow and he's got amazing things for my life because that is just who he is. And that is my expectation of him. And I hope that's the expectation for you. So I love you ladies so much. I hope you have a wonderful day. Please share this podcast. Share it with a friend that may be hurting, that may be feeling like they're in a delay, and let them know that Jesus is the resurrection and the life, and that is who he is. And we believe that he is who he says he is, and you are who he says you are. And that is a redeemed daughter of the risen King. Y'all be blessed.
Thank you for tuning in with me today. I hope the space brings grace, rest, and truth to you every time we meet here. To learn more about the Beautifully Designed community, our online Bible studies, and the Beautifully Designed book, you can go to beautifullydesigned.com. Y'all be blessed.